It's episode 10 of the In the Cloud podcast with Brad Anderson. This week, we talk about one of the many cool things built by the team of authors over at the very popular Building Clouds blog. Today, we'll be joined by one of its authors, Jim Britt, the creator of the SharePoint 2013 service template. Jim and Brad will dive into the template, how it works, and where it's being used. Let's prepare to get really technical today on this episode of the In the Cloud podcast with Brad Anderson. Well, Brad, here at Microsoft, and certainly here in your Windows Server and System Center business, we really value building and distributing tools and product features that make life a lot easier for our partners and our customers. And here in your specific organization, you have the Buildings Cloud blog team who has really made a name for themselves building some really interesting things and then turning them around and posting them on TechNet for free for the public to use. And these tools have been pretty enthusiastically received. There's been the PowerShell deployment tool. There's been the MVMC automation toolkit, just name a couple. So every few weeks, I thought we'd bring in one of the creators of these and have them talk a little bit about what it is and what it does and how the audience can go get it. And so this week, we're joined by the creator of the service template for SharePoint 2013, Jim Britt. Jim, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So, Brad, tell us a little bit about the vision behind these service templates. When we kind of set out a mission, we need some of these, we want to put these together. What did you have in mind?
Yeah, if you go back, I guess all the way back into 2005, we started to build into our products the ability to think about and manage at a service level rather than just only at a server or at an OS level. Okay, so for example, historically, tools like operations management would be done of a server, with one operating system on that. And you literally would just be managing just a single server, but you didn't give you that end-to-end view of what the service was. And if you think about a service, you're going to have a web tier, you're going to have a middle tier where the logic is, you're going to have the data tier. And the reality is you want to be able to look at it and manage at the entire service level, because you could have a situation where, a particular server is unhealthy or sick, but the service as a whole is still fine. It's still functional. Or you could have the other situation, where the service may be unhealthy because one component is there. But how do you understand that model? How do you understand the relationships? And how does it all come together? So for many, many years now in System Center, we have been working to help the industry progress towards that vision, which is let's start to manage at the service level rather than at an individual server level. And so in Virtual Machine Manager, going back into, I think it was 2009, we introduced this concept of a service template. And what that service template allows you to do is literally create a model of what your service is. And so you can model, say, hey, I've got this many web servers, they're connected to these middle tiers, there's these data servers, and you literally can create that model. And the intent there is to be able to go and say, hey, now go and deploy the service, and then tell me about the health of the service, update the service, but literally change the granularity that we manage at up to the service, which is ultimately what is the whole reason why we deploy infrastructure. Infrastructure is deployed to support services and apps. And so what I think is really cool about one of the things that we've been doing on this Building Clouds blog, if people who are listening to this aren't following that blog, I think my biggest ask for you is to get following that blog, because there's amazing things that we're putting out in that. And one of the things that we just put out on that was this service template that allows you to quickly and easily deploy SharePoint. And, Jim was the creator of that. He's going to walk us through some of the details.
So, Jim, tell us a little bit about that service template and what it does.
Sure. So service template is a three-tier, similar to the model that Brad just described. It's a SQL tier, an app tier, and a web tier. And it leverages a CodePlex project, a community project out there called AutoSP Installer that deploys SharePoint, creates the SharePoint farm, and then adds the SharePoint tiers into that farm. So, in a programmatic, streamlined fashion.
And just to even kind of build on that, if you think about without this template, what someone would have to do to go deploy SharePoint, each of those servers would have to be deployed separately. The connections and associations and relationships of those would all have to be defined. And what this template does is it gives you a template that says, hey, here's a base level template that's already in place. You can go customize it if you want to, and Jim's going to walk us through more of that. But it radically decreases the time that's required to actually get SharePoint deployed.
Sure. Yep, absolutely.
So give us an idea of what was some of the feedback that led to the creation of this that kind of sent you in the direction to know what needed to get built, mm-hmm. and what were some of those technical aspects that had to be put into it in order to solve those issues?
Sure. So, initially, whenever we started taking a look at this, we were getting feedback from customers. First of all, I think one piece was, what is a service template? What's it all about? And that was more of the education part of this is what really drove this.
There's definitely a little bit of a learning curve there.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, I mean, Service Template, as great as it is, it's really a mind shift from, as you mentioned, Brad, the sort of the monolithic of managing a server versus deploying a service. And so we took a look at SharePoint as that solution or that that workload to be able to deploy in a private cloud leveraging a service template. So,
for the people listening who are doing a lot of work in SharePoint, there's a lot of work there in the data center where this can be applied. Mm-hmm. What are to give them an idea of the actual practical application of this? What are some scenarios where this is being deployed successfully?
I would say there's sort of three distinct scenarios I think that you could go after with this service template. I think one of the scenarios where this is a real benefit is around the sort of the learn by example. So as we mentioned, there's education that's required in order to be able to get an understanding of service templates. And so taking a look at our we have a 4-post blog series on this. It actually goes through step by step. It sort of brings you along as sort of a storytelling mode of this is what where we started, where we're going, and this is how you go through it step by step. So I think from that perspective, the first sort of big scenario is around learning. I think the other scenario is as once you have this in place and you've learned how to use it, deploying this into a dev test type environment where you, as we know, SharePoint is traditionally also an extension of or is extended by developers. Yep. And so being able to have a SharePoint solution that's just in the environment that could be deployed, streamlined programmatically and the same way every single time is pretty powerful. So, and then the third option, which I think is something that's really an interesting scenario, is around hosters. Traditionally, you may deploy SharePoint once, unless it's in a dev test. You're going to deploy it once, and then you're going to extend upon it.
The service provider's going to do a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so so from a host perspective, service provider perspective, you'd be able to take a look at this service template. And again, more along the lines of learn by example, but take the methodology, the framework that we put together here, and then extend that into other workloads. Whether it's SharePoint or not, you take this framework.
I think a great idea, you know, you can take that base template that we've created, and then you can say, hey, if I'm a service provider, I'm going to create a template for a small SharePoint deployment, a medium size and a large, have all the automation behind that. And then when one of the customers comes up to provision a SharePoint farm or a SharePoint deployment, they can select, hey, I want a small, medium, or large. You know, you click go, and the service provider has all the logic and the automation using this template that just rapidly goes out and deploys. That's a great example of how it'd be used.
Now, building something like this, it's obviously, Jim, and not to terribly flatter you here too much, but I mean, no small task putting something like this together. What were some of those major technical hurdles that, as you were putting this together, that needed to be overcome?
One of the hurdles that I think that we came up against was, I'm not going to flatter myself here. I'm no SharePoint expert, so I just want to make that clear. And so, but I do know VMM, I do know automation, I do know deployment, and from that perspective, one of the major obstacles I think that we wanted to get past was how do we go ahead and deploy SharePoint into a private cloud, because that was the workload we wanted to go after. Once we decided on the AutoSP installer as that sort of solution, because it's a community-based project that's got a lot of followers, it's going across the world, and it's actually leveraged using SharePoint best practices and whatnot and all the supported PowerShell and everything underneath. The direction that we moved in from that perspective was taking a look at the script, seeing if the script fit into a model of a service template. And one of the obstacles that we ran up against was that it's not completely automated. It wasn't completely unattended. In fact, there was sort of what I'd like to call manual automation. So you would kick it off, you'd watch it, it would prompt you, it'd say it was done, this type of thing, and then you would go to the next tier. And so it was sort of a progressive manual automation to be able to deploy SharePoint farms. So what we did is we as a group, myself and the rest of my team that went in, we collaborated with the CodePlex MVP, Brian LaLancette, and we provided code update or at least ideas as far as being able to extend this into a fully unattended automated process. So what that did for us is it allowed us to take that solution, that PowerShell solution, into a service template, deploy it hands-free, deploy it programmatically and deploy it the same way every single time. What it did for his project is it actually enhanced, I think, the overall delivery to where it provided a fully unattended option for those that may want to do this in other ways, but it certainly works great in the service template.
I think one of the things really cool about that is, you know, we've done the work here to actually figure out these kind of complexities and getting that template built for a healthy application and one of the most commonly deployed applications in the world. But by now, by putting out that template, everyone in the world has got that base template, and a lot of that work has been done for them. So like you mentioned, you know, you're not a SharePoint expert.
Right.
And many of the individuals that are going to be using System Center Virtual Machine Manager are also not going to be SharePoint experts, yeah. But now they get knowledge that radically improves what their understanding is of SharePoint. And they can just base on that now and do whatever updates, customization, and they can deploy SharePoint now in minutes.
Yep.
And I know it's been very well received. We heard it mentioned a couple times at MMS, if people were there at some of those sessions. And I think even Vijay called it out in one of the demos that he did. Mm-hmm. And so in terms of where people can go to find this, Jim, and I know that you're a tenured author there on the Building Clouds blog, but specifically, where can our listeners go to find this and download it and start using it?
Yeah, so the Building Clouds blog, which I think, assuming everyone knows where to go for Building Clouds, but
I think
if you
that's
don't,
aka.ms/buildingclouds.
Yep. And once you're out there, we have the tracks that are sitting over on the upper right hand side, yep. And the automation track and the application management track. It sits in both of those because it kind of is around application management, also around automation. So.
You know, just even get some more context on that blog. You know, I talked about this at MMS, but we have a number of teams here at Microsoft who actually build and maintain clouds for our internal use. We have a team that builds a cloud that we use for dev tests across, you know, SQL, Windows Server, System Center, Visual Studio. And that particular cloud has at any given time 40, 50,000 VMs running it. We've peaked at 80,000 or 75,000. In fact, on March 7th, I don't know what was unique about March 7th, we provisioned, you know, almost 80,000 VMs in a single day in that cloud. We've got one cloud that all of our salespeople around the world use to actually go out and be able to demonstrate what a private and hybrid cloud looks like. And that has, on any given day, 5,000 VMs in it. And the people who are building the content and writing on this Building Cloud blogs are the teams that are responsible for these clouds. So this is real-world experiences. These are individuals just like all of you who are out there building clouds that our business is based on. Yeah, and I joked about this at MMS, but you know, you better believe that if our dev test cloud is down, the engineers, the developers, the testers, the program managers are not very happy and very open with their feedback and criticisms. And so this is real-world scenarios by real-world people who are building clouds, you know, big clouds, mm-hmm. that people can benefit from.
So once again, the URL for that, aka.ms/buildingclouds. And I agree, definitely something worth checking out. And Jim, Brad, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Yep. Thanks for letting me be here.
Thanks again for listening to the In the Cloud podcast with Brad Anderson. If you'd like to read more about the topics that have been discussed today or any of the past posts that Brad referenced, check out his blog at aka.ms/inthecloud. And you can also follow Brad on Twitter at inthecloudmsft.